Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's telephone town hall. My name is Barbara Holt-Streeter, Partnership Officer for Prince George's County Public Schools, and I'm so pleased to be on the call tonight with our CEO, Dr. Monica Golson. Tonight, we're going to discuss our preparations to welcome students back to school for the 2022-2023 academic year. We will be taking your questions live. If you have a question for Dr. Golson, please press 0 on your phone keypad, and you'll be added to the queue. You can begin pressing now. We'll try to answer as many questions as possible. Again, my name is Barbara Holt-Streeter, and I'll be hosting tonight's telephone town hall with our Chief Executive Officer, Dr. Monica Golson. Right now, we're dialing out to thousands of people so that they can hear how we're getting ready to reconnect for the upcoming school year. We're going to get started in just a moment, but for those of you who are just joining and who want to ask a question on tonight's event, all you have to do is press 0 on your phone keypad, and you'll be added to the queue. We're going to try to take as many questions as possible, so stay tuned as we prepare to begin. And as we continue to dial out, again, please remember to press 0 on your phone keypad so you will be added to the queue and be prepared for our questions for tonight. Now, it is a pleasure for me to welcome our Chief Executive Officer, Dr. Monica Golson, for opening remarks. Dr. Golson?
Thank you, Ms. Holt-Streeter, and many thanks to everyone for joining us tonight. The first day of school is around the corner, and I can't wait to see students back in our classroom soon. This weekend, we will officially kick off the new school year at our annual back-to-school drive and dash, a free backpack and school supplies giveaway at High Point High School, Charles Herbert Flowers High School, and Oxon Hill High School. That's this Saturday starting at 9 a.m. until noon or until supplies last. Tonight, I'll have some special guests joining me during the town hall to share information and to answer your questions. Dr. Kia McDaniel, Curriculum and Instruction Director, is joining me. Dr. Sharaska Coleman from our operations team, who serves as the Associate Superintendent of Supporting Services, and David Hill from the Transportation Office, along with Joan Shorter from Food and Nutrition Services. We want to make sure that you have the best information to prepare your child and family for the first day of school on Monday, August 29th. Thanks again for your time this evening, and I will now turn the mic back over to Ms. Holt-Streeter.
Thank you, Dr. Golson, and thank you also to Dr. McDaniel, Dr. Coleman, Mr. Hill, and Ms. Shorter for joining us tonight. Now, parents and community members, we want to hear from you. Let's start with a brief poll question, and if you've been part of our telecom hall, you know we want to know who's on the line. And so we're going to ask you four options. Press number one if you are Prince George's County Public School parent or guardian. Number one, if you are a Prince George's County Public Schools parent or guardian. Number two, if you are a PGCPS employee. Number three, if you are both. And number four, if you are neither. So again, number one, Prince George's County Public Schools parent or guardian. Number two, if you are an employee with Prince George's County Public Schools. Number three, for both. And number four, for neither. Well, it looks like 92% are either a parent or a guardian for Prince George's County Public Schools. So thank you so very much for those who are in attendance, and we look forward to beginning our teletown hall. As I shared, if you have any questions at any time, please press 0 on your keypad to get in line. Now, Dr. Golson and our panelists, we are ready to hear from you, and we'll begin with Dr. Golson. And please share with our families on the line your goals for this school year.
Thank you, Ms. Holt-Streeter. As educators and administrators work tirelessly to get classrooms ready for our students, we continue to manage the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, focusing on health and safety. Towards that end, we have reinstated a mask mandate with the recommendation that came from our Prince George's County Health Officer, Dr. Ernest Carter, in light of the highly contagious BA5 variant and rising positivity rates in our county. According to Dr. Carter, based upon CDC metrics, Prince George's County has a high COVID-19 community transmission level, above 200 new COVID-19 cases per 100,000 people in the past 7 days. And as of last week, our number was 204.99, and as I shared, the threshold is 200. And it is also above 10 new COVID-19 hospital admissions per 100,000 population in the 7 day total. And per our metric last week, it was 11 and the threshold is 10. I will meet with Dr. Carter every 2 weeks to get an update on county COVID statistics. If there is a sustained decrease over a 2 week period, we will move to a mask optional policy. But know that I will alert you about any changes. Our testing policy for the 2022-2023 school year will entail rapid antigen COVID tests for symptomatic individuals only, and as long as they have a signed parental consent form on file. Anyone who tests positive with COVID-19 must remain home for 5 days and can return on the day 6 if they are asymptomatic. Individuals who are exposed may remain at work or school unless they become symptomatic. It is recommended that they get tested on the 5th day after exposure. And we are requesting that parents must notify the school if their child tests positive. Prince George's County Public Schools has also updated its guidance for social distancing to mirror CDC guidance. We are encouraging individuals to keep distance from others when possible, to include workspaces, meeting rooms, and in shared spaces like our hallways, stairwells, and our staff lounges. I've also received some questions about monkeypox. From our conversations with health officials, I want to share that this virus does not spread as easily as COVID-19, and the current threat to children and the general public appears to be extremely low. As of last week, there were no pediatric cases of monkeypox in Prince George's County and less than a handful in the United States. I encourage all of you to go to trusted sources for information, not Wikipedia or social media. The Prince George's County Health Department held a virtual town hall last week about monkeypox and will hold another one on August 24th. Please visit the Prince George's County Health Department website for details. Given that our county was the epicenter of the pandemic, please know that I will always use an abundance of caution in managing any health risk to our students, staff members, and their families. Thank you, Dr. Golson.
As we move on to our guests, I appreciate that you provided that opening with remarks. I think that is so important as we have over 14,000 in attendance on this call. Now, as we move forward, I'd like to talk a little bit about our systemic initiatives and goals for this school year. What do you really want parents to know as it relates to those goals?
Well, we are extremely excited about this school year. And while we know that there'll be challenges, we know that there are lots of things that we can overcome. One of the major initiatives for this school year is the presentation and approval of our comprehensive school boundary plan. We have solicited community feedback for over a year, and the boundary changes will help to reduce some of our schools with extreme overcrowding and to prepare for the opening of 6 new middle schools in the fall of 2023. In terms of our strategic goals, this year's focus is on mathematics achievement, social and emotional learning, student mental health and wellness, and keeping our staff and students safe. I want all of us to consider the power of one, the power of each one of us to make a difference where we can with what we have. when we tap into our own power as individuals, we can collectively empower and transform the entire Prince George's County Public School community. Our goal this year is to improve the culture and climate across all schools towards addressing challenges with student behavior, attendance, safety, and inclusivity. Positive school climate can improve academic achievement, attendance, engagement, and behavior, as well as teacher satisfaction and retention. We are strongly making sure that we follow our student code of conduct and adhering to our weapon policy and making sure that if any child comes on our property with a weapon, they will have consequences as aligned in our student code of conduct. We want to make sure that our schools are safe. We are also introducing Wellness Wednesdays to help address concerns about bullying behavior. These will be quarterly sessions designed to help parents understand bullying, identify resources for students and parents. The sessions will review the reporting structure when bullying, harassment, and intimidation occurs, and provide information on programs that reinforce positive student behavior and mental health. The first session will be held virtually on Wednesday, August 31st. More information will be available on our website, newsletters, and social media, and we'll also share that information with your child's school. Parents of ninth grade students will be invited to a special meeting by their respective high schools before the conclusion of first quarter to review credit attainment, how to assist their child in transitioning to a new environment, and to review the student code of conduct. We're also instituting a code of conduct for families, volunteers, and visitors. Our schools are places of teaching, working, and learning, and so we expect everyone on school property to act in a respectful and orderly manner, which helps us to maintain a secure environment for everyone in the building. And parents, we know it can be challenging to contain your emotions when it comes to your child. We must do so for the safety and well-being of everyone in the building. We will also continue to incorporate social and emotional learning to reach and help more students and work to enhance and expand mental health and wellness offerings district-wide. These pandemic years have shown all of us that many of us need additional support from time to time. Mental health services are available for students, families, and staff. And lastly, we must accelerate achievement in all subjects, but especially in mathematics across all school levels. In recent years, we invested time and resources in a literacy plan that ultimately has yielded results. As a mathematics major in college and a former math teacher, I can attest to the value of mathematics for a lifetime. We're taking a look at our instructional strategies to help all students become more proficient one day at a time.
Thank you, Dr. Goldstein. I know myself, along with everyone on this call, appreciate hearing and learning more about our goals, particularly the power of one. And such a great segue as you talked about mathematics, I'd like to hear now from Dr. Kia McDaniel from the Office of Curriculum and Instruction, who will share some of the instructional strategies that she and the department will be using. Dr. McDaniel?
Thank you, Ms. Holstreeter. Our goal is really for every student, pre-kindergarten through 12th grade, to see themselves as a math person. We do not want any of our students to shy away from mathematics. And so you'll see our teachers using the standard PGCPS curriculum, which is aligned to state college and career readiness guidelines. And our students will engage with diverse examples that really help to facilitate real life situations and examples. So our teachers will help students understand not only how to solve problems, but how to explain their work, whether this is in small groups, in pairs, or in whole class discussions. And they'll be using a variety of different tools to reinforce their understanding. So you'll see them using blocks, coins, fraction tiles, calculators, their laptops, pencil, and paper. So you will hear also about discussions of math across different content areas. All of these strategies will help our students to understand the real-world application and the different approaches to solving problems. School-wide, we want our principals to reinforce the message that we are all mathematicians, using data to inform their teaching and instructional conversations.
So much, Dr. McDaniel. Again, the power of one. I love it. As we move forward in preparing for to take our calls, if you have a question, please press zero, and you will be able to you'll be able to speak to our screeners to prepare for your question. Dr. Golson, we are preparing for our first question, and this question is from Ms. Jackson. All righty. Ms. Jackson in the Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and the question is in relation to physical education. Ms. Jackson?
Hi, Ms. Jackson. How come we're ready.
Ms. Jackson, you can ask your question. Okay.
Hello? We're ready. Ms. Jackson? We can hear you. We might need to come back to Ms. Jackson.
Yes. All right. We're prepared to take the next question. And this question is from Ms. I believe it's Ms. Ali. And she's from the Laurel area in regards to transportation. You may ask your question now, please. Hello?
Yes, yes.
We're ready.
Is that for me? Yeah, yes. My question is, one is transportation issues that last year was really terrible, but is there any improvement this time around, or we have to face the same challenges as last year?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. We're going to definitely ask for your patience, because it could be that some of the challenges you experienced last year, we will experience this year. We are still in need of 150 bus drivers. So if you know of anyone who is looking for a job, please ask them to join one of our virtual or in-person fairs, job fairs. We will train them on how to obtain their CDL license. So we're going to ask for your patience. It could be that your route is impacted, or your route may not be, but we will have vacancies in transportation. Thank you for that question.
Thank you very much for that question as well. And I'm glad it was in reference to transportation, and I'm going to move forward as relates to that to Dr. Coleman, our Associate Superintendent of Supporting Services, so he can provide some details. Dr. Coleman?
Good evening, families and community members. Tonight I'd like to share our plans to provide quality on-time bus transportation this school year. As you are aware, Prince George's County Public Schools continue to have a shortage of bus drivers in line with the challenges faced by school systems regionally and nationally. The safe and timely arrival of your children to school and back home again remains our top priority. I want to assure you that we are making every effort towards on-time arrivals this year. Even with our very best efforts, we ask for your patience during the first few weeks of school as drivers become acclimated to routes. Given staffing challenges, delays should be expected. We will do our best to minimize wait times and communicate delays at the school level when possible. Our transportation call center. If you have a question or concern about your child's bus assignment, our team can help. The transportation call center will be open prior to the first day of school from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. this weekend, Saturday, August 20th. And Sunday, August 21st. The call center will be open again next weekend from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Saturday, August 27th, and Sunday, August 28th. You can reach the call center at 301-952-6570. Again, that number is 301-952-6570. Call center details are also available on the Prince George's County Public Schools website. Please remember that bus stop change requests will only be considered when a stop distance exceeds our policy or for extenuating circumstances. Online transportation resources. There are also several resources on the Prince George's County Public Schools website. Families can view bus stops by entering their address in our Info Finder tool. School Finder can be used to view program and school assignments for your address, reflecting current school boundaries. You can also view frequently asked questions and submit a help ticket through the Transportation Resolution System on the Prince George's County Public Schools website. Starting Friday, families will be able to view specific bus route information, including pickup and drop-off times, in the School Max Family Portal. Thank you again for your patience.
Thank you, Dr. Coleman. And again, that information is definitely needed and I know well appreciated for transportation as we move forward with the power of one. Now, we have over 17,000 callers. We greatly appreciate your time and learning more about what we're doing. And callers, if you have a question, please press zero and you will be able to be added to our queue so you'll be able to ask your question. And we have one ready now, Ms. Jamila from Upper Marlboro, and her question is in regards to parents entering the school building. Ms. Jamila, you may ask your question, please.
Yes. I was just wondering if the parent will be able to enter and have on-site meetings at the school.
Good evening, Ms. Miller. Yes, we are resuming, allowing our volunteers and parents to re-enter our buildings. But please know that many of the parent conferences may still be virtual, as we realized when we were in the pandemic that lots of parents appreciated the opportunity not to have to commute to meet with teachers and also found it quite effective. But, yes, we will allow it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Our next question is from Lavelle from the Northview Elementary, and the question is regarding uniform. You may ask your question now.
Okay, so my question is, do they wear uniform at Northview Elementary School?
So I can't remember off the top of my head for Northview, but you can pull that information up if you go to www.pgcps.org, select schools. And when you get to Northview, when you go to their main landing page, it will let you know whether they are a uniform school or not. Thank you for the question. Sorry, I just don't have it at the top of my head.
Thank you, Mr. Bell, for that question. Our next question is from Ms. Joycelyn, and questions in regards to students and participating from an athletic standpoint. Ms. Joycelyn, please ask your question.
Hi, this is Jocelyn Rout from the town of Bladensburg. Thank you so much for hosting this, Dr. Golson. It's been very informative. I would like to ask a question as it relates to student athletics. I have a house full of boys that are all excited to play sports, and I wanted to know, are there any restrictions on student athletes in light of monkeypox and COVID-19 still sticking around bothering us?
Yeah. So, no, there aren't any restrictions. We will adhere to any county recommendations if they have to wear masks when they're not actually exercising or doing that event. But right now, those things do not take place right now. So please reassure them that they will probably have a full year of athletics. So I wish them the best in their scholastic and athletic endeavors. Thanks for the question.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so very much. And again, please press zero if you would like to ask a question during tonight's Teletown Hall. We have over 17,200 callers on the line. Our next call is from Mr. Warren from the Landover area in regards to summer school grades. Mr. Warren, you may ask your question, please.
Yes, this is Jonathan Warren for Anthony Warren. I'm just trying to figure out, did they move him to the 10th grade or he stayed back because he went to summer school and he finished? And I'm just trying to figure out.
So that we don't have I thank you for that question. So that we don't have all 17,000 people in your business, can you please send me an email at ceo@pgcps.org, and I will pull up that individual information and share it with you so that he can progress and move forward for next school year. Thank you for this school year. I apologize. Thank you.
We appreciate that. And thank you, Dr. Golson, always being so readily available to help the parents walk through the process. Ms. Jennifer is our next caller from the high school, middle school area, and a question in regards to masking, wearing masks and testing. Ms. Jennifer, you may please ask your question.
Thank you so very much. I wanted to say that we really appreciate everything that's being done to keep students, teachers, everybody safe. And so we wanted to find out for this coming school year, our understanding last, previously during COVID was that all schoolwork needed to really be submitted electronically, like through Chromebooks. But many students often are distracted because of the screens and the devices. So I wanted to find out if there will be more hands-on learning opportunities, such as writing and other hands-on applications, if that will be deemed safe for this coming school year. And then similarly, the bus app is a wonderful idea, but we put hours in last year trying to get it to work correctly. Every time we called the hotline, the folks there said that they weren't really able to help. So I wanted to see if you can let us know when the bus app for tracking your student's specific bus safely will go online, hopefully by day one of school. And we're so grateful to all of you for making this possible. Thank you.
Yep. Let me start with the first question, and then I'll have Dr. Coleman or Mr. Hill respond around the bus app. Yes, it is deemed safe for students to have hands-on experiences with the use of manipulatives and personal writing with using their hands and not necessarily technology. So what students should experience in the classroom is a hybrid of experiences, meaning the use of technology, hands-on writing. In many of the elementary classrooms that I visited, I saw just that. So you will definitely have your child experience having more of the use of technology and hands-on for this upcoming school year. And then Dr. Coleman or Mr. Hill, can you respond about the use of the app?
Yes, I can respond about the Stop Find the app. There were some glitches last year in the program. The contractor has corrected some of those glitches, and for the upcoming school year, we should see fewer problems with the Stop Find the app. There will always be a few problems here and there, but they have assured us that this year there should be fewer problems with the Stop Find the app so the parents can track the school bus.
And if I could add to that, the one part of the issue that we had with the app last year was that sometimes to get students home, we had to combine routes. And if you have to combine a route, then the Stop Finder app would get confused. And so we're able to use that app as long as we're not combining a trip. And in those cases, we're trying to make notifications to parents so that they are aware.
Thank you both. Thank you very much, Dr. Golson, as well as Mr. Hill and Dr. Coleman, in regards to the responses as it relates to transportation as well as masks. I do want to acknowledge there was a question as it relates to the COVID vaccine being mandatory. And Dr. Golson, if you'd like to share some information about the state requirements as it relates to immunization, please.
Yes, so COVID immunization is not a requirement deemed by the Maryland State Department of Health, but we strongly encourage our students to get vaccinated. We do know that it is the one way to make sure that you remain healthy and avoid your child from being hospitalized. It is not a requirement for COVID-19, but there are immunization requirements for students to be in school pre-COVID, and if your child needs to have updated immunization, please make sure they do so. Or if they have not been able to get into the doctor's office yet, please make sure that they provide proof to the school that they have an appointment so that they can continue learning in our environment and to ensure that they're safe. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Golson. Appreciate that, and I know the parents appreciate that as well. Again, with 17,000 or 17.5, part of this call tonight. If you have a question, please press 0 for your question, and then we will be able to move forward as well. As we prepare for our next question, I'd like to now bring on, Ms. Joan Shorter from our Food and Nutrition Services, as she has a very important PSA. Dr. Shorter?
Thank you, Ms. Holstreeter. Good evening, everyone. So over the past few years, the federal government expanded the school meals program to allow free breakfast and lunch for all. Unfortunately, this is no longer the case for this school year. So we're encouraging any family who think that they might qualify for free and reduced price meals to complete a meal benefit application, or what is traditionally called a free and reduced lunch meal application form. This is commonly referred to, again, this farm lunch application or meal benefit form. Application responses have a significant impact on our state and federal funding. So we encourage all eligible families to apply. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shorter. Our next question is from, I believe, Ms. Nakia. Hope I pronounced your name correctly. And this question is in regards to school information about parents and the menu. Ms. Nakia, if you can ask your question, please. Let's see. If she's not on the line, I will move forward with it. I think she's asking.
Yes, the question is, can parents start getting a menu of what's being served and just sending it through our email? Because sometimes we're not receiving it, and we get so many emails that we're not going to check every email that's coming from all these schools. So is there any kind of way that we could receive what the kids are having for breakfast and lunch, so we know what to pack our kids if it's something that they cannot have, so we can just go ahead and they can have something to eat and they won't be eating something they cannot have?
So I can respond to that. Menus, we typically send menus home, printed menus home with the elementary school students. Our menus are posted online on the website on the Meal Viewer. And Meal Viewer identifies the menu for the entire month, and also any allergy issues or any concerns that you might have, you can click on the link to one of the menu items, and it will tell you if they're, for example, if there's a peanut product or if it's beef. So we have that information really available, but we will send menus home with the elementary students.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Shorter. Again, if you have any questions, please press 0 so your question will be added to our queue and you'll be able to ask your question live. Our next caller is Ms. Kimberly Imagine Andrews, and she has a question in regards to quarantine. Ms. Kimberly, you may ask your question.
Hi. Well, my question was, because of COVID, will the children have to quarantine again from Thanksgiving to Christmas, like they did before?
Yeah, thank you for that question. No, the CDC has eliminated the quarantine time, so there is no longer a quarantine period. But let me reiterate, if a child or an adult feels ill, please remain home. Do not send the child to school. Again, monitor those symptoms, and if you believe that it is COVID-19, please make sure you have the child tested. Thank you for that question.
Thank you, Ms. Kimberly. As we move forward with 17,500 in our caller base, we're now moving forward with Ms. Crystal from Landover, and she has a question regarding testing for our students. Ms. Crystal, you may ask your question.
Yes, hi. I wanted to know, are they going to test the kids once every week?
Thank you for that question. No, there is no longer any testing that will be done weekly. We will provide COVID-19 testing for symptomatic students. So let's say that a child is at school and they go to the nurse and they say they don't feel well. If we have permission from you on file to test the child for COVID-19, then we will do that. If we don't have it on file, then we will not be able to do it. We'll contact you, let you know what their symptoms are, and ask that you come to pick them up. But no, we will not be doing weekly testing. Thank you for that question.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crystal. As we move forward with our next question from Ms. Cassandra in the Greenbelt area, her question is in relation to school max as in terms of her daughter's grade. Ms. Cassandra, you may ask your question, please.
Hi. I would like to know, is there going to be a different way with school max? Because I was sent the family information to my email. The person that hooked up school max for us, the text message that, I mean, the password that they used didn't help me with my phone. So all year long, I couldn't get on school max. So I wanted to know, is there a better way that I could use school max without any problems?
Yes, yeah, so we will continue to use school max. The best thing to do is contact your school's technical assistant. They all have a technical support person assigned to them so that they can walk you through exactly how to get on school max and to change and reset. At this point, you probably need to reset your password. If you plan to attend back to school next, that's a great place where someone can assist you, or you can send an email to the school and they can get a tech person who can send you directions specifically on how to reset the password and what information you need to reset it. But we definitely will continue with school next this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cassandra, for that question. And our next question as we prepare with our 17-6, I believe, is our next question is coming from Seven, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Temple Hills area. And the question is in regards to offering virtual school. You may ask your question. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
I had a two-part question, but I think it was answered with a prior person asking about vaccinations that is not required.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. It is.
So I just, I guess that eliminates the second one. I was just asking about virtual learning. If hopefully it doesn't, you know, become something required, but will virtual or can virtual be an option for parents if they are available to assist their child with that?
Yeah, we're only offering virtual through our secondary virtual school program, and that was an application process that we began in the spring of last school year. So that's the only virtual option that we are offering for this school year. Thank you for that question.
Thank you so much for that question as well. As we move forward with Jessica from Beltsville, where I grew up, Beltsville. This question is in regards to standardized tests. Ms. Jessica, you may ask your question.
Hi, yes, my name is Jessica, and I'm from Beltsville with Bensville Elementary, and I'm just calling because my daughter's going to be entering third grade this year, and I'm wondering about the standardized testing to be able to identify, you know, where our children are placed. I do know last year there was testing, and we got grades back, but I wasn't informed or I wasn't able to get a clear answer on what the testing results meant and how does that apply to the children. So for third grade testing, will there be standardized tests this year? And if so, who could I speak to about the results?
Yep. So, yes, there will be testing this year, though we have reduced the amount of testing that will take place. I guarantee you that there are state assessments that our students will have to take. In terms of the explanation, yes, our schools are responsible for explaining to parents, and we hosted a webinar last year to ensure that parents knew how to read the report. We'll make sure that we do that again this year and promote that information in our parent newsletter, our electronic parent newsletter. In the meantime, if you want to understand how to read last year's reports that you received or you have concerns around this year's, please do not hesitate to send me an email and then I will connect you to the person who can provide assistance. And once again, I can be reached at CEO@PGCPS for Prince George's County Public Schools.org. Thanks for that question and being an engaged parent.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Thank you, Ms. Jessica. As we prepare for our next question, please press zero on your keypad and you will be directed and be prepared to ask your question live. Our next question is from Mr. Jackson from the Fort Washington area, and this is a question in regards to security of schools. Mr. Jackson, please ask your question.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
I have a question about in regards to students that get caught carrying or bringing weapons to school. What is the protocol as far as them being caught? Are they allowed to go back to school after they've been caught, or are they permanently expelled? And also, what are the preventive measures from them bringing weapons even on school grounds or in?
Yeah. Thank you for that question. So our student code of conduct outlines specifically what the consequence is for bringing a weapon on school. It starts with a long-term suspension, which begins a request for expulsion. That expulsion, request for expulsion, provides an opportunity for the student to share their student feelings and share what happened in the situation of why they had the weapon. And then at the conclusion of that hearing, a decision is then made. The student consequently is also charged because they have brought a weapon onto school property, which is illegal to do. So they not only are suffering a potential consequence beyond a long-term suspension from PGCPS, which means a request for, which means an expulsion, but they also are now up for charges that will be placed and now have to be presented to law enforcement. And then, obviously, before a judge to determine the consequences for bringing that weapon onto school. The ways that we can help, we are sending a letter home to all of our secondary parents through your school. One, if you actually own a weapon, please lock the weapon up. That is extremely important. And two, the backpack that your child carries is your property. That is your child. Please check your child's backpack on a regular basis. The rooms that they're in, they're also yours. Please search your child's room. We have to remain, all of us, engaged in the activities that our students are participating in. And if you have concerns or if you notice some changes in your child's behavior, please reach out to your child's professional school counselor or administrator so that they can assist in trying to provide the support necessary to make sure that your children remain on track for graduation. Thank you for that question.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jackson, for your concern. And Dr. Golson, I fully appreciate how you responded in the details. I think this is exactly what our parents and community leaders need to hear as well. As we move forward with our next question from, I hope it's Kiara from Fort Washington area, it's a question as it relates to mental health support. Ms. Kiara, you may please ask your question.
Good afternoon. And I appreciate the previous response from you guys, because mine is like a follow-up question. So what will be the available mental health supports for students after school incidents, just experiences that are traumatic? What will be available to, I guess, the greater community of students regarding mental health?
Yeah. So we actually have a crisis intervention team that we typically deploy to a school in the event that something has taken place that's tragic or that impacts that school community. Those are professionals who are entered into the building, allow students to go to a specified location to receive assistance or to discuss how they feel about the incident and receive some mental health support. They also, that information is then taken down and shared with professional school counselors so that we can follow back up with that child in the event that they need additional support. We are grateful that this school year we will have 168 schools that have mental health practitioners in those schools. So it may be that a child needs some assistance even if there was not a traumatic incident that impacted that community. They might need coping strategies or mechanisms or feel extra pressure when it's testing time. We want our students to feel comfortable with accessing any of our mental health practitioners who can help them navigate those feelings and to provide them strategies to help relieve some of that stress. We will continue to promote mental health supports to not only our students, but our staff as well, and to their families, meaning if we have a family and a student who needs that support, we're here to help those families as well. So thank you for that question. We're going to keep pushing out our mental health supports, as that is one of our three priorities for this school year. So you will find updates in our parent newsletter that we do electronically. Thank you.
Appreciate that so much.
Quite welcome. As we move forward, and callers, please press zero. If you have a caller, would like to ask your question live, so we'll be able to provide additional information and resources to prepare you within the next 2 weeks. Our next caller is Mr. Belton from Walden Woods Elementary School, and his question is in reference to transportation. Mr. Belton, you may ask your question, please.
Yes. My question is directed to transportation, and I wanted to know if it is possible to add a school bus stop. I live in a fairly new housing community that has an increase in elementary school students, and the bus stop is not in the new housing development. It is in an adjacent housing community that is a little bit of a distance for younger kids to walk unsupervised. Is it possible to add a school bus stop, and how do we follow up with making that happen?
Sure. Thank you so much for that question. So what I would recommend, we have a transportation resolution system that can be accessed through pgcps.org, and you can submit your specific information there, and we can make an assessment as to does an additional stop need to be added, or can we advise you on the closest bus stop that is safe for your child to attend?
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Belton, for that question as it relates to transportation. Our next question is from Ms. Wood in the Greenbelt area, and this question is as relates to quarantine. Ms. Wood, you may ask your question.
Good evening. I have a question pertaining to virtual learning. I know that some of the virtual learning question was answered. Mine is in regards to when a child has to go on quarantine because either there was an outbreak in the classroom or just they tested positive. I noticed last year that when we did that, virtual learning wasn't an option and the child missed a lot of instructional time. So I'm wondering, would it be up to the schools to make a decision whether or not children can sit in virtually for class if they have to be out for quarantine, or actively keep up with the assignments via Google Classroom? Because sometimes when they're on quarantine, they're not necessarily sick and they're missing good instruction time.
Yep. Thank you for that question, because this is an opportunity for me to make sure I reiterate. The CDC has eliminated quarantine, so there is no longer a quarantine time. The only time that a child will be home is if related to COVID-19 is if you, the parent, and have noticed that the child has symptoms around COVID-19, which we strongly encourage, they must stay home if you see that they have symptoms. We will alert you if there's someone in the class who has tested positive so that you can look out for your child having symptoms, but there's not a quarantine time. In terms of your questions around will there be virtual learning offered while your child is home because they've tested positive or because they are ill with symptoms, we will not be able to provide virtual learning. But they should be able to keep up with their assignments in Google Classroom, and you can work with your classroom teacher in making sure that ample time has been provided for your child to get the assignments, to make up that work, and to turn it in. Thank you for that question.
Thank you, Ms. Wood. And as we move forward, we have a few other calls in the queue. Please press zero if you would like to be added, so we will be able, you'll be able to ask your question live as we prepare to provide you all with the best information, resources that can prepare you for the next 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks almost, for the start of the school year as well. Our next question is from Ms. Barlow. And this question is in regards to bus assignments. Mrs. Barlow, you may ask your question.
Thank you very much. I believe this question would be directed to Dr. Hill. We live in Laurel, and our daughter is about to enter middle school at Pullen, which is on the other side of the county in Landover. And with schools about to start in less than 2 weeks, we're just concerned that we do not yet have the bus assignment in order to budget our time. So can you give us an approximation of when we can expect to get the bus assignment? Thank you.
Yes. Yes, that's a great question once again. Yes, all bus assignments will be mailed. We have mailed postcards this week. So if you have not received the postcard, you should be receiving the postcard with the route information. And also this Friday, you'll be able to see your students' school bus information in SchoolMax. So you should be able to see all the information pertaining to your student school bus assignment effective Friday.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Barlow, for that question. And thank you, Dr. Hill, Mr. Hill, as well, for your response. This next question is from Michael in the Suitland area in regards to teacher retention and how it's impacting our county. Michael, you may please ask your question. Michael? Are you available to ask your question? I think if I'm reading it correctly, and that question has been removed. So we're on to our next question. Again, as we prepare, if anyone has a question, we have almost 18,000 callers. We'd like to make sure we try to get in as many questions as possible. This next question is for Mr. Hine, Benjamin Starter Middle School, and the question is in relation to bullying. Mr. Hine, you may ask your question.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
All right. My question is pertaining to the bullying. And the school says, I noticed that the school system is kind of keeping, you know, things on a hush and not really involving the parents as far as in parent-student mediation. You know, back in the day, you know, when you used to get in trouble and with another student it was bullying involved, your parent was involved with a meeting with the other student and their parent too. You know, and not necessarily saying, you know, we have to do it in person because we got Zoom now, but, you know, I feel that more things need to be done because too many of our babies out here committing suicide and, you know, hurting themselves.
Thank you for that comment around bullying. So let me reiterate, as I shared earlier today, we actually are not ignoring it or sleeping on the rug. We actually are focusing on bullying this year. We are having something called Wellness Wednesdays, where there will be quarterly sessions designed to help parents understand bullying, identify resources for students and parents, review the reporting structure for bullying. And in that reporting structure, it does allow an opportunity for the students and their parents to get together to resolve the problem and to provide information on programs to reinforce positive student behavior and mental health. The first session will be virtually on Wednesday, August 31st. So please sign up to attend. And if your child is experiencing any situation with bullying, please attend that meeting because that shares with you how to report it so that we can provide assistance. Thank you again for that.
Thank you, Mr. Hine, and thank you, Dr. Goldson. I think our parents and our community leaders and community partners are really going to appreciate Wellness Wednesday. Our next question is from Moulton. I don't know if this is, I believe this is maybe first or last name from the Kettering area. And the question is in regards to Prince George's County in support in regards to IT, Chromebook, for example. You may please ask your question.
Okay. So I was saying that how are they going to resolve the problem because it was a very big frustration. From the time it took like 2 months, my daughter never had a Chromebook. They were just like trying to ask me to come to the school at certain, and they actually had a certain schedule, and then I was having a conflict with that schedule, and he was saying, okay, I'm by myself for two school, middle school, and elementary school, and then I can't do that. And then I was emailed the IT. The IT never responded to my questions because I was trying to find out if I can come earlier and then sign the paper and then drop the money. But they never
Hello?
Well,
All right, looks like we lost that caller, but let me hopefully, since this call is recorded, I'll provide a response so that she can go back and pull it up. If anyone is having issues with their child's issued Chromebook, please contact your school so that they can provide assistance and get someone to work directly with you. When the parent mentioned that they asked her to come to the school, it's probably because maybe the communication over the phone is sometimes difficult to explain how to navigate the use of the Chromebook if you're experiencing problems. But there are many ways for us to try to help work through. If you have any Chromebook issues, please contact your school's respective school and we'll provide assistance.
Thank you so much, Dr. Goldson. And I believe, since we are less than 5 minutes away, I believe that may have been our last question. We had over 18,000 callers tonight asking those questions, and many, many questions I think were answered, and many that we were not able to get through tonight. But we want to thank all of our callers and definitely our panelists for being very supportive with their responses. Dr. Goldson, do you have any final remarks?
Yes, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for attending tonight and for the questions that you presented. If you have any questions, additional questions, please do not hesitate to reach out. And don't forget that we have our annual back-to-school drive and dash. You don't even have to get out your car. This Saturday from 9 to 12, or while supplies last, at High Point High School, Charles Herbert Flowers High School, and Oxon Hill High School. We'll be distributing backpacks and school supplies. If you need to contact the Transportation Call Center, please contact them at 301-952-6570. And also, just remember, I will be meeting with Dr. Carter biweekly just to make sure we stay on top of our mask policy. So if it changes, we will post it on our website and contact you via email. So please make sure that on SchoolMax, your email and phone number information is updated. Thank you, and I look forward to us having an amazing 2022-2023 school year. Have a great night.
Thank you, Dr. Goldson, and thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.